Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Guilty Feminist. This is Deborah. If you are living in Australia, there is a very special episode of The Guilty Feminist at the National Museum of Australia in Canberra on Wednesday, the 5th of April at 7 p.m. Me, Steph Tisdall, and some very special guests to be announced. Also, we are currently planning a show in Sydney with Queers of Joy on the 4th of April. Watch out for tickets for that, which are not yet on sale, but you can book now for the Canberra show using the link in the show notes or by going to guiltyfeminist.com and clicking on live shows. And now, back to the podcast. Hello, Leicester Square Theatre! Are you ready for a little bit more Guilty Feminist? Yeah. Then please welcome to the stage the incredible Felicity Ward and Deborah Frances White! Yeah. Hello, you lovely, lovely audience.
G'day, bitches.
I don't know if you know this, but you go to a comedy show. You, of course, on the way out, talk about it. Go, was that as good as the last gig? I liked this one, I didn't like that one. Of course, you have opinions on the show. We understand that. But I don't know if you know, comedians also talk about audiences. Oh, every time, don't they?
Every single time.
And I can just tell you tonight, your reviews are in. Finest audience of your generation.
That's right.
They're loving you. They're like, oh, they're such a lovely crowd. Helen Bauer actually said, I heard the Guilty Feminist crowd was so lovely. That's all anyone says is, oh my God, they're so lovely. But they were lovelier than I'd heard. That's right, my friends.
Cuties. Absolute cuties, you.
And we've got a few minutes now at the top of this half to ask you for some BT wisdom.
Yay!
So, Felicity.
Yes.
Tonight we're going to ask this audience, and they've had prep time, do you have any feminist wisdom?
Oh, my God. I am so excited about doing crowd work with Guilty Feminists.
I know.
Because you always do crowd work. I've done it once. I don't know why we're about to waltz. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. what are we doing?
It's, that's from Young Talent Time.
It is. But that was also a Beatles song, so I think the UK will know it.
But I knew why.
Have you heard
doing
of the
it.
Beatles? Has anyone here heard of
No, yes. I thought you were doing it because of an evocation of a television show that we watched when we were growing up in Australia.
Does
Ed give us a cheer for any Australians in? Yeah! Any Australians in who are old enough to remember Young Talent Time?
Yeah. Yes, and absolutely. Who was on Young Talent Time? Danny and Kylie Minogue.
Yes, absolutely.
That's where
this
they started.
Danny was the famous one then.
That's when Danny was the famous
Danny was
one.
The famous one.
And there was like a special episode where they got her sister on as a bit of, you know, what a lovely leg up for
it.
Kylie.
I literally remember that.
Didn't the tables turn?
Yeah. I remember it. They sang Sisters Doing It For Themselves. And we were like, oh, this is Danny's sister. Or Danielle, as she was then. Anyway, we're getting off point.
Is talking about the Minogue sisters on International Women's Day.
The only right thing to do.
It's actually very feminist.
If I could book either of them, I fucking would. Now.
Right. You've got to.
Oh, I must.
You have to.
I will. Now, does anyone have any feminist wisdom? Yes. Okay. What's your feminist wisdom? After a male bee mates with a female bee, the male will die.
Whilst I love this as a fact, how would we apply that in the workplace, for example?
Please do not apply it on Bumble. Despite the name. Do not take a run with that.
That's the tagline. If you go out with me, I'll treat you like a king and I'll be your queen bee. Which is, I'll fucking kill you after we have sex.
We don't want that kind of violence.
We do not condone homicide.
It doesn't matter the direction of gendered travel. But a lovely thing to pull out at a dinner party.
I tell you what's good to pull out.
Don't pull it out at the dinner party. But a lovely fact in a time of crisis.
Thank you.
Do we have any other? Yes. Yes. What was yours?
After I got divorced, I promised myself that I would never take on a man's emotional labour more than I have to ever again.
So I'm just going to repeat that for the listeners at home.
Say it for the people in the back.
Okay, so what's your name?
George.
After George's divorce, she decided she was never going to take on a man's emotional labour again. So anytime her boyfriend gets a bit too much, she says, that's above my pay grade. Go and see your therapist.
Yum. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Mm.
Get your therapist to write a thank you note to your mum.
Have we got any feminist wisdom in the middle? Yes, right in the middle. What's your name?
Lorna.
Lorna? No. We don't want close enough.
No. A man wouldn't say close enough. No. Your name is important.
Orneth.
Orneth.
Beautiful. O-R-N-E-T-H. No.
Not close enough, Orneth. Not close enough.
Are you Irish, Orneth?
Yes. Okay, so it won't be spelled
like
that.
So it's B-H.
P-Y.
Can you spell it for us?
O-D-H. It starts with O-D-H, and that's all I had. But just to keep the show rolling, Orneth.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Yeah. What's your feminist wisdom? Don't apologise when you say anything ever in a workplace situation. Okay, Orneth.
And how you flip that, rather than apologising, is thank them for what they have done. So rather than saying, sorry, I'm late, you say thank you for being accommodating. So like if I thank you for accommodating my lateness. So if I go, oh, if I'm in the workplace and I go, oh, that was a bad decision, you dumb cunt, then... Then I would say I appreciate that you can accept feedback.
Okay.
That's so feminist.
If I spill a hot coffee into a man's lap, I say thank you for receiving my espresso.
Thank you.
Okay. Just checking in. I think there are some things we should apologise for, but they are only... They start and end with dropping hot coffee into someone's lap.
I reckon that's an apology.
That's an apology. Anybody else got anything? But we love that one, yes?
More of a variation
Stop apologising for taking up space. Okay, yes, I see what you mean. And yes. Can you give me an example, though?
Like when you bump into something or anything.
When you bump into something.
I've apologised to a table leg before.
Oh, I have to, yeah.
Come on.
I've apologised to things.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it, it's
sorry,
a chair.
Sorry, postbox.
Again?
Yeah. I find getting down the aisle of a plane or a train
a
troubling. Because I think I do, you know, this dress is deceptive. I'm taking up more space than the dress suggests I'm taking up. But I have got hips, do you know what I mean? I've got shoulders.
Lots of people do.
But I've got, I'm a woman of hip and thigh.
I can identify with that. I don't have shoulders, but I've got one of these little buddies. I've got a little tum-tum.
But that's, if you walk down an aisle, your tummy doesn't make any difference. It's hip.
Oh, I've got hips as well. Yeah. It's just my tits are so massive, it doesn't look like I have hips. But if you take in my waist,
yeah.
I do, I've got hips.
Yeah.
I've got absolutely no ass. Absolutely.
If together, we would make a phenomenal Kardashian.
Can you imagine?
Can you, what?
We are the Minogue sisters.
If we went to a plastic surgeon and said, make us one person, we would be the richest influencer on Instagram.
Oh, my God.
Because I've got the arse, you've got the tits, let's make lots of money.
Let's call the whole thing off. This has been very cabaret tonight, hasn't it?
Does anybody else have some wisdom for us?
Yes.
Yes, good. What's yours? The Giant Cock Award with
you won the Giant Cock
Wigs.
Award.
Okay, so just to recap, there is an award. Could you just say what the award is again?
Is it called the Flying Wang Award? Is that what it's? Is it called the Golden
Flying Penis?
The Golden
Flying Penis.
And
my
apologies.
For the best. There are different categories, but it could be someone who's a sexologist, it could be someone who's a sex worker, it could be someone in the adult entertainment industry. But for some reason, the trophy is a penis. And our friend who's up for it in the audience is called Beaver Meadows. And she could win it. She doesn't want to win a penis, and I understand that.
Sorry, I wasn't here for the name.
No. So much recapping. It's a good name.
Just quietly.
Yes.
Is that a real name?
I think it's a real name, yeah. I don't know if it's a state,
Can we have a quick chat? I just want to find out.
I didn't interrogate any further because I thought it could be a Canadian name or it could be a stage name. I didn't know. But I thought I don't want to be prurient. Like, she said her name's Beaver Meadows and I accept her for who she is.
It's absolutely fantastic. There's no... Beave, if I may? Is it hi? Is that your Christian name? Or is it your
I don't think it's Christian, no.
No. They have Christianity in Canada.
I don't think there were many St. Beavers of
Assisi. The beavers turn logs into wine or something. I can't remember. Beaver, is that the name you were gifted as a child? No. Brilliant. Have you changed it legally?
Yes. Oh, legally changed it.
Happy International
Women's
Day.
It's game, set, and match for Beaver Meadows, who has gone down to that deed poll office and looked them in the eye and said, my new name is Beaver Meadows.
Beaver Meadows.
Princess Consuela Banana Hammock can fuck off.
Lovely stuff, babe.
I love it. And absolutely. If you are listening at home, Beaver Meadows is punching the air repeatedly, as well she should. Now, so that's the trophy. That's the situation as it stands. And could you please tell us your now feminist wisdom? You won it. Oh, hold on. You're close enough to the mic. We could give you the mic so I don't have to repeat. Okay. What's your name?
Alex.
What are the chances of having someone in who's nominated and someone in who's won it? And I would say it's a guilty feminist show, so very fucking high. Alex, please come forward, if you don't mind, if that's okay. Would you like to come on stage? You don't have to. You can just take the mic out. Okay, Alex.
She's an award winner.
Award winner. Okay, I'm going to give you this mic. Because Alex is... Yeah, great. Thank you. Welcome to stage, Alex.
So I won the award in 2006.
Excellent. What is the award called?
It's changed names. So
oh, when like you the Perrier. Said it early,
but I was the category of sex worker.
Okay.
So I was a stripper. And
did you win best stripper? What is the?
Yeah, there was quite a few people that competed, and that was the.
Do you compete at the awards? Do they have like a short list?
Yes, they do.
Yes, and yeah. And you perform at the awards.
Yeah.
Fucking wow. Yes, mate. Can I get an invite?
And presumably you changed your name too.
Yeah.
It wasn't... I just want to know if your mum called you Fifi and you changed it to Alex as an act of rebellion or something.
No,
like that.
My name is Alex now, but it was a long time ago. It was 2006 yeah. that I won the award, so I went by a different name then. But when I won the award, I was actually really embarrassed to hold this giant
penis.
And I was a bit embarrassed when the photos were being taken, so I was kind of like holding it behind me. Just like,
don't put it behind you. Of any of the places. That only makes things worse sometimes, doesn't it?
But when I got home, my best friend had made me a new award, and it was a giant, bigger, much bigger flying vulva.
Beaver, did you know this? Did you know about Alex and the recreation of the vulva? No, you didn't. No. So this is, you got to get together after the show.
I feel like yeah. there's a burgeoning...
Because you're trying to get the award changed. Have you said what you're trying to get it changed to? Or just something more neutral?
Neutral inclusive,
yeah. Yes. So that whoever wins it, it's not about a body part. It's about who they are. Yeah. So you need to... Could you get involved in this campaign?
Yeah, I wish I knew what you looked like. Where can I find you after?
Do you mind just... Beaver, do you want to come on backstage?
Yeah,
just
come,
so
on up, Beaver. Yeah. Come on up. And Deb, you know how you used to ask if anyone was wearing a feminist t-shirt?
Yeah,
have you seen Beaver's t-shirt?
No, show me.
God can say.
Her t-shirt says God consent in question mark. Beaver, we love you. Could you get a little photo? Callum, are you in taking photos? Do you mind if we put them together between us? Could we get a little photo?
Oh, yeah, you hop in the middle.
You come in the middle.
Come in the middle, Alex.
Okay. This is a wonderful moment.
Clean it up.
Beaver Meadow, not Meadows. There's only one Beaver Meadow.
There's one Meadow.
There's only one Beaver, yeah.
But there's one Beaver and there's one Meadow. Okay, so there's not many Beavers in a Meadow. There's one Meadow, one Beaver.
That's right, you've got it right.
And listen, where can we follow you and follow your sexologist work?
I'm on TikTok and I'm the disability sex coach.
Yes!
We should get you on the podcast as a disability sex coach. Would you like to come and guest on?
I'd love to.
Okay, great. Well, let's figure that out. So is Rachel in? Yeah. If Rachel slid into your DMs, would you?
I slid into your DMs, but you haven't seen it yet.
Oh!
Well, Beaver, I don't mean to be rude, but did you get consent?
And Alex, is there any way you'd like us to follow you or anything you're doing you'd like to plug?
No, follow.
You know that you can follow more than one person.
That's the whole idea of social media, that you follow lots of people.
Okay. It's a long name, Alexandra Hofgartner.
That's okay. Do you know this is recorded? So people, if they didn't get it, they just press the rewind button.
I'm a bit thrown being...
You absolutely don't have to say it. We can cut that out if you don't want loads of randoms following you.
These people are a bit dodgy, to be fair.
We're just going out on the wider podcast. You might not want that if you're not particularly doing anything at the moment that you want followed for. You don't.
No, that's fine. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
If you want it, yes. Got consent?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Yes. Yes. Can we have a big round of applause for Beaver and Alex? Excellent. Trade phone
absolutely
numbers. Lovely. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, can you believe it?
It's hard to believe it, but I do now that's happened.
It's That was supposed to go for 10 minutes and it went for 20.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That is well, very typical of you and I, to be fair.
It is. But I heard there is no show after us. And we were told there would be another ism. So I think we can probably run over by 10.
Sure. You can. I have another gig to
yeah,
get
yeah,
to.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But can you? Have you got enough time to do your stand-up?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay. Then please welcome to the stage to do her stand-up comedy, the incredible Felicity Ward!
Listening at home, I just took a sassy sip of water and spilled it all down my face. Got a drinking problem. Little airplane joke. Oh, side note, this is not a joke, little fact for you, only Australians will know. You may know the movie Airplane, the 1970s pun-filled masterpiece. In Australia, it's called Flying High. Not a joke. I thought you would be more impressed with that, but you weren't. So I am going to the Just for Laughs Festival after this, and tomorrow I am doing a show called The Motherfucking Trilogy, and it is supposed to be 3 hours altogether. It's going to be about 2.5. And there are still a couple of tickets left if you want to get some. But I was going to, because it's International Women's Day, just give you the first, 5 or 10 minutes of my birth story, because I have just had a baby 3 years ago. And he's not backstage, he's at home, don't worry. And he's not by himself either. He's got the iPad. Or mum, as he started calling it. And... so it was November 2019, and I was 9 months pregnant, and my son was due on the 19th of November, and my mum was flying over from Australia to be there. So the phrase due date has never been so important, because it's very expensive if he doesn't come on time, you know. So mum lands at the airport, and I take her straight to a Costa coffee, which I think is very important when you're in the UK. If you've got someone visiting, you've got to take them straight to Costa. It's very important because, number one, it's a British-owned company, yeah? You want to support local business. Costa is not local, but it is British, yeah? And also, to go to a Costa coffee is to understand what you will get when you go to anywhere in the UK. It's a good representation. It's subpar food, it's poor customer service, and it's immigrants getting paid less than minimum wage. It's very, it just sets them up, you know? So also to preface this, I have to tell you that every antenatal class that I went to, prenatal, antenatal sounds like you're against childbirth, doesn't it? I'm actually a bit antenatal. I don't, yuck. Yuck. I don't speak Latin, okay? So in every prenatal class or any article that I read about birth, all of them said, do not worry about your water breaking. It's not like Hollywood films. It can be, but it very rarely is. Hollywood, they overdo it. There's water everywhere. Sometimes your water doesn't even break. Sometimes the doctor has to break it for you. Sometimes it's just a drip. Often you don't even know that it's happening. And that was reassuring to me. So my son was due on the Tuesday, very early, about 2 a.m. On the Saturday morning. I woke up and needed to do wees. It had happened before, probably happened again. And I was very, very pregnant, and it was very difficult to get out of my very new, very expensive, very comfortable couch. Every time I got in, it was like a family-friendly overdose, you know, just melting into a cloud. So I get one leg out and do a little bit of wee, little splash, and just a little bit, tiny bit, just to let me know. Funnily enough, never wet myself during pregnancy. Not once. Isn't that weird? Shat myself twice, but once while I was on stage. I didn't know it was happening. Didn't know it happened. Can you imagine? Didn't know. I got off stage and I was at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, got off stage, I'm like, I had a pretty good show. Feeling pretty smug. Sat down in the toilet and went, I did not have a good show. And I panicked and I didn't know what to do. So it wasn't heaps, it was just enough to go, that's not a skid mark, that's an appearance, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a cameo, that's a feature. You would get paid. So anyway, I panicked. I took my underpants off and I didn't know what to do. So I just stuck them in the bin of the... Well, I mean, that felt very scandalous. But also, I'm not going to stick them in my fucking purse, am I? I'm not going to take them with me. So I leave them there. I've got a skirt on. I've got no underpants. I'm walking around commando. And that is not me. I have never... ever had the confidence or the pelvic fortitude to walk without underpants. It's just not me, you know? So I go outside. It's very invigorating. I am praying that I don't need to sneeze. And I'm walking and there's a shop across the road. It's open, which never happens in Australia. It's 8 o'clock at night. So I go in there. I go to the underpants section. I get a 5-pack. Because if you're going to get daily undies, you may as well get a multi-pack, you know? If you're going to get one, get 5. You do that with... everyday undies. You don't do that with sexy undies, do you? You don't go, you know what? I'll get 2 pairs of edible undies, actually. Now, give me 5. Give me 5 just in case we use them all up. I didn't even know what edible underpants look like. And then there's 2 different kinds. And the only thing I know is they both give you diabetes. So anyway, so I'm in the bed and I do a little bit of splash and I'm like, okay, quick, you got to get out. And then I felt more coming. I'm like, oh no, I think my water's breaking. And then I got up and so much came out and I'm like, oh no, not the new mattress. So I sort of like shuffled away. And let me tell you, it was like Kevin Costner's water world. There was, I think I saw Jack and Rose clinging to a door as they went past. And so it just kept coming. And so I'm like, oh, honey, I think my water's breaking. And my husband woke up and went, okay, let's go. You know when you're at a party and there's a guy passed out on the couch and goes, I could drive. And you're like, you can't even speak English, mate. You're not getting in behind a wheel, not at all. He's like, okay, I can go. And we were like nervous. I didn't have any contractions. I just had the water. And we texted my mother-in-law and she responded, I think like any mother-in-law would, pretty casual, just in all caps, I think I'm going to bake a cake. Just a very chill thing to do at 2 a.m. I've got to bake a cake. I've got to channel this somewhere. And so we call the hospital. We go into the hospital. And they do the test and they're like, look, you haven't gone into contractions, so go home, have a sleep. And then tomorrow go on 2 big walks to try and get things moving along. And it's so unnerving when a doctor gives you the same advice your mum would as a teenager just to get you out of the house. Just go on a couple of big walks, yeah. It's like, are you actually a doctor? Or mum, were you a secret doctor? So we got back in the car and we were going to go home. And then we had one of those moments as a couple where you can't believe how on the same page you are. It was 6 a.m. and we looked at each other and my husband said, do you want to get Macca's? I'm like, of course I want to get Macca's. And we ate our last meal as not parents in the car, Finchley, North Finchley car park, having hot cakes and syrup, all bloody lovely, right? So the next day I got up and I went on the first of 1 walk. And we're walking along and then I get a little tingle in my back and I'm like, I think I'm having a contraction. Isn't that fucking mad? You have no idea what a contraction feels like before you've had one. You're like, is it my elbow? Where is this going to... Why would it's happening in my back. Is that a contraction? I mean, later on, you very much know what a contraction feels like and you're very angry about that experience. And then we're walking along. I get another one that's a little bit stronger. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm having a contraction. This is amazing. And it's November. It's about 1:30 p.m., so the sun's setting. And, you know, all the Christmas lights are up and there's this busker outside Tesco and he's got the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. I can't remember what he was singing, but it wasn't a Christmas carol. And I looked at him and I said, I'm so sorry, I don't have any change. And he looked at me and said, your beautiful smile is enough. And I'm 9 months pregnant and I turned to my husband and went, it's just all so beautiful. Ah! So here is the thing. It is now the 16th of November. Now, the 16th of November, I'm going into labour. It is my mother's birthday. It's the 16th of November, so we're going to get her some baklava. Now, the other thing is, it's also my husband's sister's birthday on the same day. And so we go and get her some baklava. And also, it's my husband's sister's father-in-law's birthday on that same day, so we go and get him some baklava. And I might be adding a fourth birthday to this day. Isn't that so cool slash weird and worth investigating? So we go and get some baklava, and then we're walking back home, and my husband's like, we should get flowers as well. I'm like, that's overkill. They've had heaps of birthdays. All right, yeah, let's get. So I carried what I could, which was his unborn child. Now, I'm glad you like that. I've never told this story apart from online once in an Instagram live and like once other on stage. So it's very exciting that you're laughing. You're giving me a false confidence and I'll really like die tomorrow. Well, I'm like, they're going to love this. Oh, they hated it. All right. Oh, God. So I'm going to tell you something that you probably didn't know. There is so much about birth and pregnancy that we never get told. Now, everyone knows that your water can break and it can break like it does in the Hollywood film. What they didn't tell me at any point is that once your water breaks, it can keep breaking. Every 20 minutes, just half a couple of water, a splash, just falls out of you. That can keep having a splash. And you have no control over it because it's got nothing to do with your bladder. You've just got to manage. You've just got to manage. Ah, ah. And like, you know, when you've got like crippling period pain and you're out doing something, you just have to pretend to the world, you're like, oh, no, it's fine, absolutely fine. It's the same when your water's breaking, you're like, absolutely not. No water coming out of my vagina. None at all, none at all. So it had been breaking this whole time and it had got to the point we'd been out for so long that I needed to change my maternity pad. So we went to the only reliable public toilet in the UK at a bar and I went in there and I went to change it. And going into a toilet cubicle when you are 9 months pregnant is like going into a toilet cubicle with your suitcase at a train toilet. You know, where you've sort of got to push your bag in first and then you've got to, like, lean up against the door and then, like, Tomb Raider the door behind you without taking your back skin off. And so I'm trying to get in there and there's a door and there's a toilet and I'm like, oh, I'm smarter than a door and a toilet, aren't I? Please. And then I finally sat down, locked the door, and I thought that was the difficult bit. Mate, when you're 9 months pregnant, you cannot get under yourself. You can't. It was like a T-Rex trying to change a tyre. Just this little. So I ended up having to do like a Hail Mary pass. Just like shake that one out and flop it in and hope. Hope for the best. That's 12 minutes. I'm going to have to go. You can see the whole story in 2 hours. Tomorrow, there's a couple of tickets left. I've been Felicity Ward. You have been Angel.
Everybody! The incredible Felicity Ward! Oh
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh.
Fresh.
Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our guest today was labelled an indie pop wunderkind by Avro Telvanni. She creates self-produced punchy bops with groove and a sense of humour. Producing from her bedroom studio, she has created her own brand of self-aware alt-pop, described by She-Wolf as pop music with brains. She is absolutely incredible. If you follow her on TikTok or Instagram, you will know she's absolutely astounding. And she is, in some ways, like changing pop music and what is possible, especially for women and people of minority genders. Please put your hands together and make incredible woo-hooing noises for the wonderful Ellie Dixon! Ellie, welcome to The Guilty Feminist.
Thanks for having me.
And welcome to the mic. Before we sit down and have a chat, would you like to perform a song for us?
I'd love to.
Excellent. Are you up for that, Guilty Feminist?
Yeah! Right then. Got to put my bass on. So this is a song called Swing. And I released it. Oh, someone knows it. Hey! Thanks for listening. So, this song called Swing, and I released it last year. Heavily inspired by High School Musical 2, if we have any fans. You know, the kitchen scene? With it. Yeah, it's that one. So, pretty highbrow stuff, guys. I wrote the song last year when I found a weird corner of the internet, because there's a few of them, and just started getting some weird hate. And so I took the wind out of my sails a bit, because I hadn't had that before. I don't think anything really prepares you for the internet. So I wanted to write a song that kind of took a bit of the power back, and I let myself be a bit angry. Normally I go straight to crying, so I thought this time, no, anger, High School Musical 2, much better. This song is called Swing, and I'm gonna start it for you guys by looping it. So the way that I made this song in my bedroom was that I started with me hitting a glass with a whisk. Like this. Then I added a synth. Then some clicks. Then a shaker. This is Swing.
Barely started my day, didn't even step up to the plate, and you're already playing mind games. I might run downstairs, middle of the night, thought I left the oven on, cause you're such a gaslight. Always looking down cause you think you're a winner, you're so full of it, how'd you even eat your dinner? Batter up, swing, if you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. Throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm hidden, see I want a lot more than you're giving me. Batter up, swing, if you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. Throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm hidden, see I want a lot more than you're giving me. I was just minding my business, then you took a ball and you pitched it. Should've known when you checked my statistics. Money ball, yeah, you're not such a big fish. I can't stand this fake face scam, so I hit it right back at you with a grand slam. Met your downfall, call out the foul ball. I'm in the penthouse, you're on the ground floor like, thought I left the oven on cause you're such a gaslight. Always looking down cause you think you're a winner, you're so full of it, how'd you even eat your dinner? Batter up, swing, if you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. Throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm hidden. See, I want a lot more than you're giving me. Batter up, swing, if you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. Throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm hidden. See, I want a lot more. seems so stupid. Now I'm lucid, let you walk all over. Get up in my face like a toothpick. So stupid, now I'm lucid, let you walk all over. Swing, 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 or better up. Swing, 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 better up, swing, swing. Better up, swing, swing. If you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. Throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm living. See, I'm worth a lot, lot more than you're giving me. Better up, swing, swing. If you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. Throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm living. See, I'm worth a lot, lot more than you're giving me. Better up, swing, swing. If you're gonna play these games, I'll join in. You throw a lot of curveballs, yeah, but I'm hitting.
Join me here and let's have a chat. That was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Can I ask, like, this is such an extraordinary way of creating music that you use all sorts of things that you've got at home and you build it all yourself. What made you think of this? What made you think you could do it? Like, how did this start?
Honestly, it was just kind of a lot of excitement and trial and error. And my dad installed a bit of production software, basically like drag and drop loops, onto the family computer when it was the family computer. So I fought for my time on the schedule and, just sort of fell in love with this idea that you could make any sounds, really. And also just I had a really low budget, didn't really have any actual, I didn't have a drum kit. So.
You didn't have any instruments, so you just thought, well, I can make it in a computer-generated way.
Yeah, and I had a mic and a laptop and sort of thought, right, well, don't have a kick drum, but I've got a desk, and I sort of hit it.
And then how... And then how did you think, well, other people will want to see this and build an audience for it?
Yeah. I mean, I still don't know if anyone wants to see it, but
no, we do. We do. And you've got lots of followers, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I think I don't know when I decided people were going to want to hear it, but I used to take like a saucepan to my live shows and hit it for percussion, and I don't know how I decided to share it. I mean, I think I grew up watching loads of YouTube and seeing other musicians, so I think I was always inspired by people visually sharing what they were doing. So I think that was a big motivator for me, was sort of like, oh, I'm going to be a vlogger, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it always felt natural to me that I was going to visually and sound-wise share what I was doing.
Do you think because you came up in a generation with it could be shared that you thought, oh, well, I should share it because that's what people do?
Yeah, we're in a sort of Pixar it didn't happen era. So.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think there was definitely always an inherent thing that I wanted to share it. Yeah, I think part of that is sort of our cultural thing now of wanting to share things. The first thing I ever made and shared was actually I wrote a really awful song when I was like 12 for my cousins. And it was so cringe, but I played it to my whole family. Like sort of, you know, when you force the whole family to sit down and put it on a show.
Yes. I know it well.
And so showed them this song, and then my whole family just sings it to this day. So I think I've always enjoyed sharing.
Can you sing a bit of that song?
Oh yeah, okay. I can't believe this is my legacy now. So my cousins, their surname's the Bradnocks. So I'd sing Brad Knox. I've been thinking about you, Brad Knox. There's a few things I need to tell you. See, I see you once in a while. Seeing you guys makes me smile.
Love that. But I think that the thing is, when your family embrace your creativity, the creativity of a 12-year-old, and encourage you, and they sing it. This is what encouraging children is. I don't know if has anyone seen the show by Rob Madge, that My Sons Are Queer, But What Can You Do? Yeah, it's an incredible show. And it's up for an Olivier. They, as a kid, basically in a very dictatorial way, forced their family, mum, dad, gran, everybody, to reenact bits of West End musicals, like Disney musicals, reenact the whole of the Disney experience. And what's gorgeous about it is it's just this family embracing this kid's otherness, queerness, fabulousness, and just it clearly slightly out of their element in the videos, going, it's what they want, and it's what they want, and it's who they are, and we're going to love this kid, even though they were clearly at times a bit bewildered by it, but they just couldn't not show up because they loved this kid more than they didn't understand him. Mm. And it's just the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful show, because there's this really lovely, close-knit, working-class family, one kid, and everyone is just pouring their love into this kid and going, it's not what we would do. And it even sort of unpacks it slightly in the show. You need to see it. It's getting another run in the West End. I'm sure it'll go to Broadway. You must see it if you can. It's called My Sons Are Queer, What Can You Do? And I just think what you've talked about there as well is going, look, as a child, you do one creative thing. If your family go, that's a bit silly, darling, or
you never
not
do
like
it again.
That, you don't, or you do it in secret.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that embolstering and emboldening, and now you're doing this incredible work.
Yeah.
And you're doing a sort of, what's so interesting, kind of this homemade but gorgeous sounding pop. What's the response been from the mainstream industry?
It's been really overwhelmingly positive. And I guess that's such a big fear, is seeing how, like, once you sort of hit wider groups of people, how it's going to resonate.
Yeah.
And I feel very lucky that everything I've been doing has been received very positively, and I'm sure there'll be a time when there's some article that's absolutely slating me and my music. But I think if you've got a foundation of people that are important to you, that are supporting you, and you have been given the space to have that confidence in yourself, I don't think you so readily give that space to people who don't know you in the same way. And I think that's why supporting kids from a young age is so important, because your nearest and dearest are the people that are going to make or break your confidence in during really formative years. And honestly, to pursue any sort of creative arts, you need an element of utterly blind confidence and delusion, just a bit, and no one is going to instill that like parents.
Absolutely. And some people do it as a reaction against their unsupportive parents, and some people do it because they have been supported by their parents. But either way, you're right, you've got to have something about you that says, in the face of all the evidence, I believe that I am going to find my audience.
Yes.
And I fully experienced that for years, that I would put on shows that people would say, this is really good, but it was always sort of, it was very limited in its scope. And you have to keep, like, being brave about what you're prepared to say. And I'd sort of given up on the industry, really. I thought, well, now I'm just going to say the thing that I don't really dare say. Mm. Bridget Christie said to me, you will never truly find your audience until you say what you're too scared to say. And I said, well, that's all right for you, Bridget, because you're a very strident feminist, and what you say sounds really impressive. What I want to say is, I'm a feminist, but I don't know if I'm doing it right. And I think they're all going to go, oh, boo. And she went, we'll find out. And the, you know, instantly, you know, the hundreds of thousands of women were like, oh, fuck, thank God you've said that, because I also don't think I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's just that moment of going, fuck it, and I'm just going to, I don't care anymore. I think, you know, that's what it is. How do you find, because you produce your own work.
Yeah.
How do you find, because we were talking backstage a little bit, and you were having a very interesting conversation with Grace Petrie about producing. Could you speak about producing a bit in feminist terms?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really interesting industry, the music industry, because you have your very front-facing industry. You have your artists, you have glam, you have everyone carrying what everyone sees. Mm-hmm. And then you have everything behind the scenes, which is the vast majority of the people in the industry and the careers that are available are very much not on the stage. Mm-hmm. And they're more tech roles and, just not the front-facing stuff. And that's where I think representation is still very much lacking, and especially in the production community. I mean, the proportion of the of music producers that are gender minorities is something, it's like less than 3% or something like that.
So less than 3%, and by gender minorities, are you including women?
Yes, yeah. So
fuck.
Yeah.
Technically, it's quite a I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not a minority. We're actually a slight majority,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least 50-50. If you take in women and then people of marginalised genders beyond that, we're looking at over 50% will be not cisgendered men.
Mm.
But are you suggesting that nearly all the roles are taken by, or currently those positions are filled, let's say, by cisgender men?
Yeah, and I mean, it's getting better. It definitely is getting better, and every day I see more people like me in behind the scenes and in tech roles. But it's definitely something that is still, as you say, bizarre, because there's bloody loads of us.
Yeah.
But we're not...
not visible.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get those jobs.
Yeah, and it's an infrastructure thing, and it starts from super young, you know. Mm-hmm. It's if we are teaching young kids, and especially young girls, that they aren't suited to tech roles, or we're being brought up feeling like we aren't good enough, I think then competitive industries where you sort of have to stick up for yourself a bit, I don't think you're going to get as many people who already feel marginalised going into those spaces with confidence and taking up the same space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where... That's why a lot of it is kind of still so out of balance and out of whack, really.
Have you had experiences where you've gone in and not felt welcome or accepted or part of that scene?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially for me, a lot of my experiences in the live sector have been the most eye-opening. Where
what have your eyes seen when they've opened?
Not good stuff.
What have I seen?
Well, I mean, I've found that I've sort of needed to prove that I know what I'm talking about a lot of the time. My current touring team is all women and non-binary crew, apart from my manager. And we will see in venues that even though my tour manager has introduced themselves, even though my tech and sound engineer has introduced themselves, people will seek out my manager because they think, oh, the bloke knows what he's doing, you know? To a shocking point where he was napping in the seats, because it was his day off. He was just coming in for a bit of moral support. He had a pint, and they were going up to him rather than the rest of my team to ask a technical question. And then he'd gone home after the show, and we were on pack-up duty. My manager's great, by the way. It was literally just not his job on the day. He was in bed and got a call at 2 a.m. because they were saying, oh, can you get the gear out? And he was like, you should call the touring team. Yeah. The assumptions that get made in these environments are really weirdly dated. And I think, honestly, it's just exposure from the teams in venues and in like festival setups and stuff. And I've worked with some incredible venues and some incredible teams, because this is not across the board at all. And we've had really good treatment and a lot of respect, but we've also really had the opposite, to the point where we've had members of other bands on lineups with us come up to us and say, I can't believe how that sound engineer spoke to you. And it's just absolutely blown my mind, because I produce in my bedroom so much, I'm not in studio settings a lot of the time, so I don't necessarily... I mean, I'm not getting any sexism from myself in my bedroom.
No, yeah, limited, limited sexism. Yeah,
honestly.
Although sometimes do you have a piece of cake and then go, huh, ladies and our cake? And then you go, don't call me a lady. And then you go, what do you want me to call you then? Feminist hero, yay, high five, high five. Just to give yourself a bit more of an authentic experience.
Yeah, yeah. That my intro is actually just a hallucination I had because I spent too much time by myself.
What do you think about the Glastonbury lineup this year? Because there's been a lot of controversy about it, that it's an all-male lineup.
Yeah.
What's your response to it?
It's not great. I'm not in support of it, really.
Would you be up for headlining if they called you?
You know what? Have me. Need to make up the numbers and I'm here.
What's extraordinary is that Lizzo's on the bill, but she's not one of the headliners. Mm. But Guns N' Roses, which, to be fair, Guns N' Roses are a lot more relevant and contemporary than Lizzo. Still Living on a Prayer. Is that theirs? No. That's that Bon Jovi's? I don't fucking know. I don't think they should be headlining because I don't know their songs. What's a Guns N' Roses song?
This
Sweet Thank Child you. Of Mine. Thank
Someone
you.
Someone save me there. I'm the musician. That was bad.
Thank you. One person can come up with Sweet Child of Mine. What is a Lizzo song, everybody? See? More relevant, more contemporary, more now. A lot of young people wouldn't even know who Guns N' Roses were.
Someone shouted, Welcome to the Jungle, and I thought they meant Lizzo.
Someone shouted, Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah. That's not Lizzo, though, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, I see. No, yeah, no, that's definitely not Lizzo. I would know. I am excited for what you're doing. And before you sing us another song, could you just tell us, what are you trying to express? Like, when you write music, what's trying to come out of you?
I think a lot of my music is advice to myself, and then by extension, sort of advice to anyone that wants to listen, really.
In that way, you really remind me of self-esteem.
Yeah.
I think you're part of the same movement.
Yeah, I think I strongly believe that if you're sharing art and you have a platform, you should really use it to make the change that you want to see in the world. And I want to see more people with confidence and more people comfortable in themselves and happy and, you know, feeling like they have the tools to do their daily life. And I think that's when we're all a bit kinder and the world is just a bit more gentle.
So it's practical, compassionate pop.
Yeah, and I mean, with just loads of mental health kind of themes, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I just want to spread good vibes.
That's definitely what I want in my headphones.
Yeah.
Have you always identified as a feminist?
Yeah. I think just out the womb. I was... well, yeah. I think I've always sort of hated being put in a box. Always hated. I mean, also, I was an incredibly obnoxious, boisterous child. I had quite acute Tourette's. And ADHD, and at school, as in primary school, I mean, like, it's, you know, there's not this sort of ladylike behaviour. So I think I've always rallied against the machine from a young age, because I've never really felt like I fit into the box that when I was, at least when I was growing up, this idea of being a girl never really worked for me. So I think I've always disconnected from this I don't know, this way of life that we want to push onto people, and very much a binary way of looking at the world and gender.
Well, you are a very relevant and very contemporary artist, and I hope that you are headlining at Glastonbury soon. When they get all of our tweets, I'm sure you will be. In the meantime, would you like to close our 350th episode of The Guilty Feminist?
Wow.
Then in that case, please welcome back to the mic the incredible Ellie Dixon.
So since it's the 350th, does anyone fancy a sing-song? Yeah. The lungs have been working all evening. So this is a song that I put out last month. It's called Big Lizard Energy. That's what I stand for. And basically, I wrote it last year when I was having quite a lot of panic attacks. And I was just getting into ruts of overthinking and really blowing things out of proportion. So I decided to blow myself out of proportion instead in a last-ditch attempt to not be panicking. And just imagined I was a giant lizard and was crushing my problems like tiny houses. And it weirdly worked. So I started writing a song about it. So, I'm going to show you how to sing this. So, in the chorus, I'm going to go. Problems are big, but I'm bigger. One, two, three. Problems are big, but I'm bigger. Oh, that was lovely. I'm a Jurassic killer. One, two, three. I'm a Jurassic killer. We'll sing the song now. So this is Big Lizard Energy, and the way that it started was I took an audio sample of someone playing the conga drums, and I cut the drum beats and I distorted them into notes, which sounds like this, and I made it into a little beat. This is Big Lizard Energy.
Problem with proportions, freaking out cause everything feels so damn important. Hit the red alert when it's just a bit of caution. Yeah, I drove myself to exhaustion, but I've been growing. Call it a five-star thriller, tiptoeing over your roof. I'm a killer, I'm blowing. Perspective makes it all chiller. I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing. Problems are big. So reptilian, taking down my issues like they're just civilians. New blockbuster, making them millions. Don't really care about their opinions, cause I've been growing.
Call it a five-star
pillar. Tiptoeing over your roof, I'm a killer, mind blowing. Perspective makes it all chiller. I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing. Ah, problems are big, but I'm bigger. I'm a Jurassic killer. Cold-blooded enemy, not so scared when I'm 320 feet. Big lizard energy, cold-blooded enemy, not so scared when I'm 320 feet. Big lizard energy, cold-blooded enemy, not so scared when I'm 320 feet. Lizard energy, cold-blooded enemy, not so scared when I'm 320 feet. Oh,
Problems are big, but I'm bigger. I'm a Jurassic killer. Just you guys. Problems are
big, but I'm bigger. I'm a Jurassic killer.
Thank you for singing the song about dinosaurs. Thank you so much. I've been Ellie Dixon. If you want to find me anywhere, just search E-L-L-I-E, Dixon with an X. And I'm going on tour in May, and you can find tickets. There's a London date, as well as various around the UK. So go to elliedixonmusic.com and you can find tickets.
Wonderful. Where are you playing in London, Ellie?
Lafayette.
The Lafayette. On yes. What date?
Currently May 24th.
Currently May 24th.
May 24th. But yeah, we're figuring some stuff out. We're hoping okay. It's May 24th.
Put May 24th in your diary, but pencil it.
But just like highlight the whole month, keep it all free.
So if you could keep the whole of May free for Ellie Dixon, and I think that's not unreasonable after the performance she's just given. Ellie Dixon, everybody! Find her music wherever you find music. Follow her on socials. Are you on Ellie Dixon on socials?
Yeah, Ellie Dixon Music.
Ellie Dixon Music on all of the socials. Get involved, get a ticket to her live show, and spread the word. Share her either on your socials or in real life with your face. Tell someone about her. I think you'll agree this is a kind and joyful kind of pop that we really, really do need. That's about something with substance. Thank you so much, Ellie, for closing our 350th show. This is what it was tonight. I was meant to say that at the beginning. But I had it as a twist at the end, which I think no one saw coming. It's like a Netflix show, isn't it? You think, oh, how did that... I never knew that was going to come out. It's him. It's like that. It's like, we didn't know we were the 350th show. We should have had a cake. We should have brought a cake. Did anyone bring a cake? No, you didn't know. What was that? Ladies and their cake!
We've come full circle!
What a callback! What a callback, my friend! Are you a comedian?
No,
but you are now. What's your name?
Camilla.
Camilla. You can see Camilla at an open mic, probably down Leicester Square Theatre basement. That's the kind of callback. I didn't see it, and you saw it. If Felicity had been here, she would have seen it, but she's not. So thank you very much. Camilla, listen, you have been an absolutely phenomenal audience. We are doing more live shows at the Soho Theatre and at King's Place. If you go to guiltyfeminist.com, you'll be able to find them. Tom, when are they? Are they soon?
He shrugged off stage.
He shrugged, okay. Well, keep the whole of May free. No, there's more coming up soon in March. I'm away in April, but if you're in Australia, I'll be doing a couple of shows there. And then more in May. But if you could come, because you've been one of our favourite audiences ever. So if you specifically could come again to some of the others, we would like, if anything, I'd really like to just reassemble this audience here. It'd be really great if we could all just come back together. Let's all agree. We'll all go to Ellie's show together. Possibly on May 24th, if everything works out. If not, I think I am free on May 24th, so I'll go, and we could all go together. And then if you could all come back to our upcoming run at the Soho Theatre and King's Place, we'd love that, because we've loved having you in the audience. You've been really, really joyful. I mean, this is one of our sort of more gallery, ridiculous fun shows, because it's International Women's Day, Saturday night, Leicester Square. We didn't do any serious deep dives, but sometimes we do, as you know, and often we do. So please come along. We try and do all sorts of different shows. I'd like to say a big thank you to everyone at Leicester Square Theatre. And because it's International Women's Day, my incredible right-hand woman, Gina Decio. Rachel Craftman, also, who books these shows, who's absolutely fantastic. And can we have an enormous round of applause for everyone that we saw? Felicity Ward, Michelle DeSchwartz, Helen Bauer, Grace Petrie, and once again, the wonderful Ellie Dixon. Ellie's trying to get off the stage, honestly. It's been a really wonderful night. Tom, is there anything I've forgotten to say? No? Okay. Thank you so much for coming out. You've been an absolutely wonderful audience. We've been The Guilty Feminist. I've been Deborah Frances White. Thank you and good night!
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, and my very special guests, Felicity Ward, Helen Bauer, Michelle DeSwart, Grace Petrie, and Ellie Dixon. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. Music was by Mark Hodge. The producer was Tom Selinsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Craftman, Gina DiCio, Zainab Muhammad, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, as well as all of you for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Just leave it at the bit, because he slid into my DMs. Cut this out as well. There's going to be so little of this left. He slid into my... He hardly ever fucking cuts it out as well. He goes, oh, no, but it was funny, so I left it in. So I'm literally saying cut it out to direct him to things he thinks it's going to be funny. I'll leave it in.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.